and now evangelist David Shannon.
If you will, open your Bibles to John, the 12th chapter. John, the 12th chapter, is a chapter that is full of information. And this morning in Bible class, we were able to cover probably the first half of the chapter. This morning in the sermon, we covered maybe the other fourth there in the first half of that chapter, of the latter half. And tonight, I would like for us to cover the last fourth of the chapter. We see, as things have happened in this chapter, that it's very near the end of Jesus' life here upon this earth. It's a transition chapter. No longer is Jesus speaking of the time that will come, but now He says the time is at hand. We see also from this morning's lesson that the Greeks came and they asked Jesus a question. And it's interesting that these are the last words that we know of Him speaking in front of the multitude. And let's open this evening with those closing words that He spoke. Look at verse 35 and 36. This is the last few words that He spoke to the multitude while He was on the face of the earth. Then Jesus says unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide Himself from them." Now we know from previous studies in John that whenever Jesus spoke of the light, earlier He said, "I am the light." They were very well of the fact of what He was trying to assure them of. They knew exactly who the light was that He spoke of. They knew that He was saying, "You better notice me and learn of my teachings while I'm here, for it'll only be a short time and I will be gone." This evening, I want us to look at a subject that seems so simple, but yet all of us need to search our being to see if it's true of us. And that's the simple subject of spiritual blindness. You see, it's possible for me to be what I think is active, but yet still be spiritual blind. It's possible for me to even know spiritual truth. It's possible for me to be able to quote Scripture, but yet to be spiritually blind. Let's look at two people, two sets of groups that were blind in this latter part of the chapter. There he closes with those remarks of knowing the light and seeing the light, and look what happens in verse 37. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Here's a group of people that have gathered around. They have seen Jesus physically. They have heard Him speak. They have seen His truth. They've kept up with Him for whatever reason. Maybe curiosity, we could list several reasons why. But the fact is, in verse 37, though they'd seen the miracles, they did not believe on Him. They were spiritually blind. Jesus was there before them. They didn't see Him as their spiritual leader or spiritual truths. That's a dangerous situation that maybe we could even fall into today. We have the Scriptures before us. Do we know them? Do we believe them? You see, Jesus has never meant to be a mystery to us. Let's think back for a moment. The prophets, what did they prophesy of? Many prophets prophesied of the great Messiah that was to come. Immediately before that great Messiah came, what happened? John the Baptist was the immediate forerunner. He ran just right before Jesus, just a matter of a few months, and he said he was preparing the way for that great Messiah to come. Why? God and Jesus wanted to make sure that people knew that He was that Messiah. Jesus came and He lived upon this earth, and as He began His ministry, He made it no mystery that He was that great Messiah. Even after His death, His apostles preached that same truth, that yes, He was that great Messiah. As a matter of fact, one of the first gospel sermons ever preached, Peter said, "You remember that man of Nazareth? He was the Son of God, and you crucified Him with your wicked hands and slain Him." You see, they even preached the Messiah. Today, the Holy Spirit has inspired through writers, the Scriptures, the Word of God, the Bible, and it teaches the same truth that Jesus Christ is that Messiah. You see, He is never meant to be a mystery. We can know that He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the truth is, many are blinded to the fact when it comes to knowing it to the point of obedience. And that is a sad way to live. Even though He taught it, even though He performed the miracles, they still did not believe the power of Jesus Christ. You know, when we look in verse 9 here, in this same chapter, look back with me. Let's see the reason some of these people were gathered. And I'm not saying by any means everyone gathered around Him had this same belief, but in verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that He was there. Now this is speaking of Jesus. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead. So you see, some have gathered these last 2 days because they had heard that Jesus is there. And not only Jesus, but you remember that man they've been speaking of, Lazarus. Well, he's there too, and that's the man that they have eyewitnesses. He was in the grave for 4 days and he was raised. Let's go down there. Let's see this man, Jesus, that's supposed to have that power. And let's see that man, Lazarus, and see if he looks normal. Let's see if it's really true. That's why many gathered there. And while they were gathered there, they saw the results of the miracles. They heard about the miracles. They even heard Jesus speaking as He spoke to the Greeks as we studied this morning that you must take your life and you must lose it before you can live. You see, they heard, they saw, but the problem is they did not believe. Is the same not true today for us as well? Do we not have the potential to hear the Word of God, to see and to study the Word of God, but yet to not believe to the point of obedience? Certainly we do. You see, Jesus is not going to force Himself into anyone's life. You see, just a good background will not force Jesus into my life. Even being a daily Bible reader is not going to force Jesus into my life. Jesus comes into my life by choice. My choice. No one else can put Jesus into someone else's life. Not even Jesus Himself. It takes a choice of leaving the spiritual blindness and stepping into spiritual light. Here, as we read in the 37th verse, these people had that problem. They did not see Jesus as the light. Turn over with me to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, we have some information that helps us to understand a little bit better about the light. In the first verse in the fourth, tongue's tied. First chapter, fourth verse. 1 Peter. Okay, we're going to back up and go start again, okay? This reminds me, if we can just take a time out. I never do this in a sermon. But let me take a time. You know, the first gospel sermon I ever preached, I was about 9 years old. And I was standing on a little box. And it was an invitation. It was about a 5-10 minute invitation. And I was scared to death. And I was with my home congregation. And I said, let's turn to 1 Peter. Can you believe that? 1 Peter. And I turned. And I looked. And I looked. And the place just got deathly quiet. And I looked more. And I looked more. Finally, with a beet red face, I looked up and I said, I can't find it. And then I just kind of set my Bible down, just flipped a couple of pages, and there it was. I picked up that Bible and I said, I found it. So, I'm telling you, I found it. I want to go to 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 4 through 10. And I want to see some truths that can carry us into spiritual light. But also, if we leave or avoid those truths, it takes us just as quickly into spiritual blindness. Now, I want you to notice what some of these truths are. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, here we start. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to your temperance patience, to your patience godliness, to your godliness brotherly kindness, to your brotherly kindness charity. Now notice, verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, we accept these things in our life. There is no doubt we will produce fruits for Jesus Christ. We're in the light if we can accept these traits into our life. But now notice what the next verse says. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And notice this. Hath forgotten that he was purged from his old man of sin. You see, brethren, here we have a man that is in spiritual blindness that once had perfectly good spiritual vision. Once he was being a product or producing fruits for Jesus Christ. Once he had his life in order, and now he is spiritually blind. Why? Because he has forgotten that he was purged from those old sins. You see, it does not take someone that is living over in Africa that has never heard about the Bible to be spiritually blind. We can be spiritually blind if we do not even have these traits within us. The fact is, to know the truth is not enough. We must know and practice the truth before we leave spiritual blindness. Let's look back to John the 12th chapter. As we look at John the 12th chapter, we see another group of people that were spiritually blind, but yet their condition was just a little bit different. Look with me down to the 42nd verse. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. So they believed. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. Oh, here is a sad situation. Here are men that hear, they saw Jesus perform these miracles, they even believed that he was the Son of God, and they believed the words he spoke. But yet these rulers could not give in because they were afraid that the praises of men would leave them. Even though they would have the praise and honor of God, they were afraid that the Pharisees of that day would excommunicate them from the synagogue. Oh, that would have been a terrible life for a man that was used to being the ruler, being respected among his people. That was something these men were not ready to give up, even though they saw the truth and believed it. Now let's notice, you and I can choose to be spiritually blind. We can see the truth, we can hear it, we can study it, we can believe it, but if we do not carry it out, we are still spiritually blind. The sad thing here is that their reasoning, and that is the latter verse we just read in verse 43. They love the praises of men more than the praises of God. I want to suggest a couple things to you and think on these things. Once I start seeking the praises of men, there is no way I can have spiritual sight. Anytime I seek the praises of men, I have said no to God. Anytime I go out and I carry out a work just because I want to hear someone say, oh, you did such a good job. Anytime I go out and the reason behind the performance I give is because I want to hear someone praise me, I've stepped into a dangerous situation. It's a shame how many in the church have hurt feelings because they're not praised by men. Now, I am all for praising people. I'm all for compliments. I'm all for building each other up and never casting each other down. But brethren, that should not be the reason or the motive behind any of our works. All the things we should be doing in the church is for the glory of God, never for the glory of self. Let's look back to the 5th chapter of John. In the 5th chapter, in the 44th verse, John addresses this same subject earlier. John 5:44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You see, apparently that was a tremendous problem in that day and time. And I suggest to you today it still is. There have always been and always will be those, even in the church, in the religious realm, that are seeking the praise of men first before they seek the praise of God. Anytime I step into that, I step into a condition of putting self before the righteousness and the praise of God. As we close out this chapter in John, I want us to look at the last few verses there. And I want us to ask ourselves, why is it so important to not be in the spiritual darkness, or in the spiritual darkness of the world? Why is it so important to have spiritual sight? First of all, the first reason I suggest from these latter few verses, and by the way, these latter few verses, we're not really for sure if these are the words that Jesus spoke at this particular time. They are inspired. We know that when it said Jesus cried and said that He did say these things, but some commentators believe that maybe these are words Jesus spoke beforehand and John puts them in as just a closing part. But nevertheless, these are words that do fit in with what Jesus has said. And starting in verse 44, we see Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on Me and believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. He that seeth Me, seeth Him that sent Me. I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. The first reason I suggest to you that we should have spiritual sight and that we should leave spiritual darkness is very simple, but yet the most powerful reason I can suggest to you this evening, and that is Jesus is the light. Think about it. Why leave spiritual darkness? Because Jesus is the light. There's no other way to come to Jesus than to leave the darkness. You know, if there was not even any other spiritual blessings other than salvation itself, if there was no other spiritual blessings, that would still be reason enough to leave the darkness. But oh, there's so many blessings to leaving the darkness. But the greatest alone is Jesus is the light. But let's notice also verse 47. If any man hear My words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Second reason why I should leave the light is because Jesus cannot help me if I'm in the light. You see, there's coming a day when I will stand before Jesus. The good book says that every knee shall bow, that we all must give account of ourselves. Now, Jesus is going to confess the names before God of those that confessed Him upon earth. But Jesus cannot help anyone that stayed in the darkness. As a matter of fact, He warns here in John, He says, those that stay in the darkness, I can't even judge you. Now, we know that He's going to judge everyone, but the reality of what He's saying is, He's saying you've already been judged. Remember, this is near the end of His life. He's saying all those things that I've already spoken, all the laws and all the commandments I've given, He said those things will already judge you before you stand before Me on judgment day. We need to step out of the darkness and into the light, so Jesus can help us. The third reason I suggest to you is the same reason that Jesus gave. Notice His reasoning in 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of Myself, but the Father which sent Me. He gave Me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore even as the Father said unto Me, so I speak. He closes this chapter with the words, at least believe it because God said it. He says, anything I have said, I have not said because I choose to say it. He says, I have said it because God has commanded me to say it. Believe the Almighty God. Well, Jesus, why believe the Almighty God? Verse 50, because His commandments is life everlasting. Isn't that tremendous? You know, I do not have to worry about obeying the gospel and then thinking, well, when times change, what commandments are going to be brought in new? Well, what things are going to be voted on and we're going to have to accept these things now? What's going to change in the church over the next 10 or 15 years? What commandments are going to be accepted and which ones are going to be done away with? I don't have to worry about that. God's laws are everlasting. His commandments give us life everlasting. This evening, think about your spiritual sight. You see, hearing is not enough. Believing is not enough. Even understanding your condition is not enough. We must believe to the point of obedience before we have spiritual sight. As you think about your spiritual condition, if you're in the darkness, think about those three reasons. Jesus is the light. Jesus cannot help those that are in darkness. God has spoken. And His words are those of light, and He wants us to leave.